Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 230, Adult and Teen Challenge Presentation. Guest Minister Andy Collins delivered this message on Sunday, January 2nd, 2022, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's my friend, Andy. And just take your liberty and minister and have your team come up. We love you.
Amen. Love you too, brother. Thank you so much. Sorry, I saw a tiny little window where I could step out for a quick second and that way have peace for the rest of the time we are together. Amen. What a blessing to be here again. It's a lot has happened in 15 months since the last time that I had the privilege of being here. And of course, that was my first time. And I was struck this morning, even on my way in here, I was struck this morning just with the realization, I guess, of what God actually did by aligning our paths, by having our paths cross. And it's something that I've known before. It's something that I've thanked God for, you know, for knowing Pastor Harley and his wife and. You know, my father's house family, but there's something deeper. There's something in the spirit that is actually happening, and it's something I wanted to share. As we are coming into this city, you know, we just simply had a mandate. We had a mandate from the Lord. We had a command from the Lord to come and to establish a house here in this city, in this region, that would be a house of hope, a beacon of light, you know, for so many that would need it, that are struggling through life-controlling addictions and trying to find their way out of that. And yet, you don't exactly have the blueprint. You know, we didn't have finances. We didn't have, all we had was the simple mandate, which is all we needed from the Lord to then begin to activate our own faith, right, and actually come. And this is how we met, simply by saying, hey, hi, we're coming. And would you meet us? And in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is actually sending out, you know, Jesus had, there was the multitudes, you know, there was the 500 or so that followed at a closer distance. There was the 70, there were the 12, and then there was the few. But when he sent out the 70, he actually told them, he said, listen, go into every city and place where you're about to go. And he said, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Into his harvest. Not ours, right? But his. And he says this. He says, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag. Got that. knapsack. You know, again, we didn't have a lot of possessions. Nor sandals. And I thought that was actually interesting. That what he's referring to there as he's speaking to them about not taking sandals. I won't get into that for time's sake. But, and then he says, and greet no one along the road. In other words, stay on point. Stay on mission. Stay, you know, true. If you're headed to this destination, this is where you need to go. And he says this, but whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And what I want to tell you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is peace to this house. Peace to this house. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right? So what I'm saying is Jesus to this house. And then he goes on to talk about the man of peace. And there's this understanding in New Testament scriptures, and it kind of originates from this place. There's other places in the scripture where it talks about it, but he basically says, when you go into a village, when you go into a city, look for the man of peace. And here's what I've come to understand and know over the last couple years of praying into and laboring and sowing into this specific region is that, and I don't say this for any, there's no flattery involved, there's no anything except for just acknowledging the fact and the truth is that Pastor Harley is the man of peace in the city of Fort Wayne. There is a sense of a mantle that God has bestowed upon you because of your faithfulness, because of your humility. I was trying to describe you to the men, and the first word that came out of my mouth was meekness. It's just a meekness that resides in your spirit. But trust me, there hasn't been a pastor yet in this city when I have said Pastor Harley that hasn't understood who this man is. There's been many people who have tried to connect me to you, having that already been a reality. And so I just want to say thank you, and I honor you both. I honor you, and it's an honor and very humbling for me to be here, and I mean that. I don't take it lightly. So thank you. Thank you to this church. To those that are here, those that are watching online, for your level of participation in our stories, some incredibly, some have sacrificed greatly for the cause of this ministry. And we honor you. We will steward. We are praying blessing upon blessing back upon you for your sacrificial gifts to this ministry. I've prayed so many times driving down the road for you. I've thought about you. I've honored you in my heart. And I'm just grateful for what God does. This isn't just about, this is a collaboration in the Spirit. Again, this is something deeper than even just finances or, you know, volunteer help or this or that for the future as we're looking at expanding the ministry. This is something bigger. And so I'm just really excited that God had our paths crossed. And as we're sitting here this morning, I'm just, again, so moved at what God is actually doing. So I wanted to say thank you and an honor that it is to be here. Give you a quick update of the ministry. As Pastor Harley already alluded, we did have a difficult Christmas break in some aspects. There was a couple gentlemen. We send everybody home for 1 week. And there's a lot of reasons why we do that. We understand the risk involved. We understand the difficulty of these men facing, you know, the world outside of the comfort and the safety of the Adult and Teen Challenge Ministry. And to be honest, I've always done it for my staff, because my staff sacrifice a lot. They're away from their wives. I didn't say good morning to my children this morning. Don't feel bad for me. It's part of our life and the cost that we gladly give. But, you know, I got to say goodbye to them on the phone, or good morning to them on the phone as we're driving here, you know, this morning. But, you know, we pour out a lot, you know, those 51 weeks out of the year, and we count it an honor to do so. But really the reason we send everybody home for a week is really to give my staff, my team. It's not about the students getting a pass. It's about my team getting a break and getting to rest with their spouses, their children, their families. And so we've done that, and it's never cost us what it cost us this year. We've had a couple gentlemen in the past not come back. We've had a lot of cleanup, a lot of discipleship, a lot of training that's happened on the back end of that, as men have chosen to taste things again that they shouldn't have tasted, or to participate in those things. It's really a reality check of all reality checks, because it's long enough to, you know, really go back and taste and things. I wish I could keep these men in a bubble for the rest of their lives, but I can't. At some point, they're going to have to face the reality of who they are and decide who they want to be. And at times you have to have the choice not to do something in order to do something. Just like God, you know, God is love and he loves us, and we get to love him back. But the reason it's so powerful is because we also have the choice not to love him. But when we voluntarily bring our will and our love to him, it's this union, it's this coming together that's so powerful. But we did. We had a gentleman, his name was Lobo Miguel de la Garza. He was 20 years old. Came in on September 16th, and he'd had a rougher past. You know, he did. He was just that guy. He'd already been in prison, believe it or not, at 20. He'd already, experienced some things in life. But he came to Adult and Teen Challenge one day. He went to his dad as a heroin addict, and he said, "Dad, I'm going to stay by your side until I get help. I'm done with this life. I don't want to be this guy anymore. Don't give me any money. Don't give me the phone. Don't drive me anywhere. Don't relieve the suffering that I'm about to go through. I'm about to detox with you, and I need you by my side." And the very next day, they called Adult and Teen Challenge. This was back in September, and he was able to come in, and he was hungry for God. He was changing. He was still rough around the edges, and that whole discipleship process was very much real with him, but his dad came in the other day to get his stuff from the center, and he hugged me, and he wept and wept and wept, and he said, "Andy, I tried to keep him safe, Andy. And he just wept as he went back to heroin for one more taste, and he never woke up. He overdosed, and it hurt us greatly. And it's just, again, a really sobering reminder of the battle that we're actually facing, the battle that we're in. It's a battle that's in this region right here. And so there's no doubt a need for a ministry like ours. I don't think there's any question of that. But it's just a matter of seeing God connect the dots. So I want to share really quickly through the time since we were here last. We're actually looking at the house behind here. I don't know if you remember me mentioning that. And I was saying, man, that would be a perfect adult and teen challenge. And you know, the funny thing is after we left here, it wasn't long after that my wife and kids and I, the four of us, got in the car one day because it was filled with trash. I don't know how many of you actually went in there, but it had some stuff in it, you know, a lot of potential. It was a really unique building. It was obviously a lot of question marks around it, but yeah, I was just filled with faith, and we had to take a step forward somewhere. And I told my wife, I said, honey, come on, let's go, you know, let's go clean the trash out. And she's like, but we don't own the house. And I was like, well, I'll call the owner and see if he minds, you know. And of course, he didn't mind. He said, go for it, you know, whatever you want to do. So we came, we had our gloves on and our trash bags, and we were piling stuff into the garage and going through room by room and cleaning it up and just finding joy in doing that. It was fun to watch my children serve and kind of sew into it. Here's the thing, that wasn't a waste of our time. Because to us, we did it in faith, and we did it as an act of faith in the city. We didn't know where we were going to end up, but if it was there, we wanted it to be as beautiful as it could be. And I'll never forget, I got in the car with my wife after we were all done, and we were going to go celebrate and get a little dinner real quick somewhere. And as soon as we get in the car, my wife looked at me and said, honey, that's not it. Now, remember, this is so anticlimactic. I'm so full of faith. I'm excited. We had just cleaned, and I'm getting ready, and I'm picturing, man, I'm going to have the board. We're going to have the construction team. We're going to get everything. And she looks at me and goes, uh-uh. And I said, what do you mean? I don't want to hear that, you know? And she's like, honey, we're bringing them out of environments like this. We're not trying to put them into environments like this. I said, honey, no. She goes, Well, fast forward a little bit, I brought my team here anyways, just to see what would happen. And one of our staff members' wives came with us, and as we were leaving, she said, that's not it. That's not it. I said, oh, these women, man. Why? Come on. And here's the deal. It was that very month, the month of September, right, as we were here, like 15 months ago, whatever. It was that very month, at the end of the month. We were here earlier in the month, and at the end of the month, this Emily made a phone call to a pastor in Fort Wayne, First Missionary Church. Older church off of the old historic Rudisill Boulevard, Rudisill District there by Foster Park, and the old Fort Wayne Bible College, Summit, Taylor, that whole deal. And she called, and mind you, I have a lot of history in Fort Wayne. My parents went to Fort Wayne Bible College, and I was a child who, my dad was actually on staff at First Missionary Church a while back. But my wife, someone else's wife, Emily called this pastor, and there was an interim pastor there at the time. And he's an interesting, unique guy, very unique, very interesting, but his name was... It's like, man, I think destiny is like, you were supposed to be a pastor, you know? Not William, not Bill, but he just went for it. You know, my name is Will Hope. I'm like, well, I am hoping. But he starts talking to me after we had this great phone conversation. And he says, listen, guys, like, there is a building across the street from the church. And instantly I pictured it because I lived two houses down for a couple years of my life. I was young, but I remember them well. And he said, there's this building. And as I was walking through it the other day, I thought, man, wouldn't it be amazing? This would be an amazing teen challenge building. But I don't even know if they have a teen challenge in Indiana. And he said, I actually went as far as to look for one, and I didn't see any in our area, and I just kind of left it at that. But then all of a sudden, I get this call from Emily, asking, you know, from Teen Challenge, you know, talking about wanting a meeting. And so this is kind of odd. And he starts to describe the building. And before he could even get done, I just had to break it to him. I was like, sir, like my brother and sister-in-law actually lived in that building that he's talking to me about for a year while they were raising support to go on the mission field. After my mom passed away, my senior year of high school, my dad and I returned from the mission field, and my dad lived in that same building. My sister, while my mom was sick, actually, my sister flew from California and spent 3 months in that building. I know that building full very well, you know, and as a matter of fact, they tore the two houses down that were in between the building and the house that I grew up at. So the first time I pulled into the property, it's the building next to my very house, 3933 South Wayne Avenue, where I lived for a couple years. I can see my little bedroom where I slept up there as a 9-year-old and then later on as a 12-year-old. I had a paper route right around that little area of the city, and I played soccer and baseball at Wildcat down at Foster. I mean, this is like my past meeting my present and my future in such a crazy way. Well, here's the thing. We walked through the building the very first time, and we said, you know, we set up this meeting, and I walked through it, and the guy says, well, and the pastor, Will, says, what do you think? And I said, man, I love it. I love it. I think it's awesome. And he goes, yeah, well, and I said, listen, I just want you to know I don't have a single dollar really to the account. I mean, I got $3,000 or so in the account for this city. That's what I'm working with. And he goes, well, the church is asking for somewhere around 300, you know, for the building. I'm like, 300,000. Sorry, let me specify that. Yeah. I said I had three. I needed 100 times that. Isn't God good? So about a week or two later, I get a phone call, or it was maybe a couple days later, I get a phone call from him, and he said, you're never going to believe this, Andy, but we've had a very generous benefactor step forward and said, hey, listen, that if Teen Challenge wants the building, that they will gift it to you. I said, what? So as I'm walking through this building, okay, mind you, as I'm walking through this building, I'm looking at it, and I'm looking around, and I'm going, wow, you know, it's awesome. It's three levels, 18,000 square feet, 6,000 square feet each level. It's got apartments on the upstairs that we're going to renovate for student dorms. Middle floor has offices, has a kitchen, has a big meeting room for a classroom chapel. It has a student lounge area. It's got restrooms. It's got everything you could possibly imagine. Downstairs is all workspace. It's got 6,000 square feet of workspace. So I'm thinking, man, we got plans. But then they're like, but listen, in order for you guys to take possession of this building, you know, it's really going to be, you know, we got about $25,000 or so in a roof, repair, and it's going to be $75,000 probably to get a sprinkler system in here because the code is residential, it's old, it's not going to work. And so all of a sudden I'm like, man, right out the gate, like we get this $300,000 gift, but it's going to set us back $100,000 right out the gate. And I'm like, man, Lord. Like, I don't have 100,000. Again, I have three. Now I had 303, but, you know, but I still have three. And I kid you not, guys, a couple days later, I opened my mail. It was actually a powerful moment where I had a little stack of envelopes. And I open up one, and it's a gift from a beautiful widow, and it's $50. And just so you know, like, I praise God for the $5, for the big gifts. I really try to make it a point. I try to make it a point to praise God for everything, you know. And so I saw the $50, and I was like, all right, thank you, Jesus, you know. And I open up the next one. It's like $120 or something. I don't know what it was. I'm like, hey, oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. And I had this sense, like this expectancy. Like, my spirit was jumping, doing cartwheels before. I'm like, God, what is going on? And I have this one last envelope, and I open it up, and I didn't recognize the names of this couple. I opened it up, and it's a check for $100,000. And I'll tell you, I set it down, and I wept, and I wept, and I wept, and I thank God. And I'm like, goosebumps don't describe this moment, you know, like this is God confirming to me in that moment that there wasn't any need that we were going to have that he wasn't going to meet. Like that God was going to, that God is in this, you know, in 1 week to get $400,000 either pledged or in hand. It's a good week, you know. It's a decent week. Hallelujah. You know, praise Jesus. And so there's a lot more to the story. I don't feel released to share right now at this moment, but we'll come back again and share some more in the future. But I'm telling you, since then, we've had a couple, you know, a little open house, and we've had some activity, and we've had some people come through. We've had some builders come through, and I'm actually meeting with a woman tomorrow with my team. We're going to meet with her tomorrow. She's joining our team on staff, and her specific role is going to be grant writing, and it's going to be specifically fundraising. And so God has already made a way. She has got her doctorates in fundraising. I know. Like, yeah, doctors, and I mean, like, what, you know, like, master's would have been good enough, you know, but literally, we're about to hire a doctor. Like, that's intimidating. But anyways, praise God. She's a believer. She's a woman of faith. And she just knows that the Lord has called her to our story for this specific time. And so we're going to have her. And again, she's not our hope. And she knows that. He is our hope. He is our provider. He is our provider. But there is so much here. And I'll tell you, it hasn't been easy to come into this new city. When we built our almost $4 million project in Elkhart, which was paid for completely by the time we ever cut the ribbon and took a step into it, all God's story, miraculous. I'm telling you, one guy sitting down to write a $500,000 check, which, again, great problem that I'll never have. But he sits down to write a $500,000, and God told him to double it, you know, and he's like, wait a second, God, hold up, you know. God's like, no. So again, one person took care of a quarter of that. And there's this miraculous story after miraculous story. But when we did that, we'd already had a presence in the city for 6 years of Elkhart. People knew us. We had an established base of you know, relationships and donor base and all this stuff. In Fort Wayne, it's not that case. And in Fort Wayne, I'm having to inform people of who we are as well as try to fundraise at the same time. And I've noticed the challenges of that. And so the fundraising has, God has proved his faithfulness. He showed himself mighty, as I've already shared of here in a couple little quick instances. But it's not over. So we're still looking for a little over $1 million, probably somewhere in there total, which when you look at the scope of it total, you know, 18,000 square feet needing about $1 million or so, a little over probably. It's really not that bad. You know, we're not having to build new. We're not having to tear out a bunch of walls. We're having to, you know, bring some HVAC and some new lighting and, you know, just some things up to code and whatnot. But it's really an amazing, amazing issue here. So $1 million, if you all just believe with me, can we just pray right now? Can we just put our hands together? Can we just, put them up to Jesus and just say, Father God, you know the need, Lord. And money is money, and we don't want to get wrapped up in it. But God, it's a necessity of this world. It's a thing. It's a reality. You spoke a lot about money, God. You know how to go down to the fish and pull a coin out, God. You know how to bring it forth from nothing. You can do whatever you want to do. And Jesus, we're not chasing money, we're chasing you. And we know that as we do that you provide. And so God, we just ask, Lord, that you would, again, just roll out that red carpet even further, extend it out even further. I know you said that you would do that in accordance to our faith. But right now, I'm asking, Lord, in agreement with my family here at my Father's house, Lord, that you've bound us together, Lord, that God, that the need is there. And so, Lord, bring it forth. Provide that $1 million, God, million plus. God, we'll ask for two right now because we're feeling like asking, and I know you're generous. And so, Lord, we just say, Father, thank you for every penny. Thank you for every provision. And God, you know what it's going to take to open up that house, to be a beacon of light, be that hope, be that address where hope can be found for so many. And God, we say thank you. We just say thank you. And we're ready wherever, however, I'll do whatever I got to do. Jesus, I pray you'd reveal that to me. God, I pray you'd speak through my family here if need be. Whatever it is, Lord, we're open. And God, we won't compromise integrity. We won't compromise holiness. We won't compromise the message of the gospel. We won't do anything contrary to what you want us to do for one single dollar, because it would not be worth it. But God, I'm looking forward to how this is all going to come to be. And so, God, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for agreeing. But guys, God is doing some really, really neat things. For time's sake, I can't really share a lot of the ins and outs. Like, he's given us some new things to look forward to get excited about. One of those is, man, I should have brought some, but we didn't have any at the center because we all just came back from Pass. But Rescue Coffee Roasters. Okay, write this down if you're writing anything down. Write Rescue. What am I trying to say? RescueRoasters.org. Sorry, I haven't had to say it in a couple weeks. RescueRoasters.org. Okay, now if you go to that website, RescueRoasters.org, what you'll find is a brand new little micro enterprise that God has blessed us with. And it was Christmas of last year where a church called me, a pastor called me and said, Andy, well, we've picked you as one of the ministries that we want to take a love offering around Christmas. It's a significant size church. It's a large numbers. And so that gift ended up being somewhere close to just under $18,000 on a Christmas whatever. And so he brought it to me happily, but he said, I'd like you to do something with this, you know? And I'm like, okay, like what? And he's like, I don't know, like what projects do you need? And I said, well, you know, I could think of some. And honestly, the first one that came to mind was a sidewalk. We need a sidewalk between one of our buildings and another building, okay? I could tell by the look on his face, he wasn't excited about taking the church offering and putting it in the dirt. he just was like, okay, well, you know, I mean, that's an idea. And I was, okay, all right, I'll keep thinking, Pastor. Just give me a second. I'm just being honest. And after a little bit, I thought, you know what, God, like, that's right. He'd given me this vision, this idea of roasting our own coffee and selling it. Again, you know, we need to be creative as the body of Christ, right? I love opening up envelopes that come in the mail. I'll do that all day, every day. But that's not our only hope. Like, God gave me a word over Adult and Teen Challenge when we opened, and he said, he who works his land will have abundant food, but the man who chases fantasies lacks judgment. And I felt like that word was specific to me in the fact of how I was going to fundraise, how we were going to go after it. And I thought, you know, I'm not greedy for money, but God, you've given us men, you've given us talents, creativity, you've given us all this stuff, and we want to work it. And so coffee roasting was something that I'd never done. And I thought, man, I know that it's a significant investment on the front end, around $20,000 to do. And I thought, man, but we need to do this. So with that being said, we were able to invest that into a really awesome coffee roaster. Cool story about that even. We looked up a couple different places where to get them. We did a lot of research and we did our homework and found this place out of Minneapolis, Minnesota called, Mill City Roasters. Sorry, Mill City Roasters. Good, great company. And so we call this guy finally, like, ready to order. And this guy says, wait, did you say you're with Teen Challenge? We're like, yeah. And he goes, man, I love Teen Challenge. Man, let me find you a discount. You know, I'm like, come on, Jesus, thank you. You know, we love discounts. So he knocked off a significant chunk off the top, you know, just because of connections. And he was pretty well aware of Teen. He was a believer. And I mean, just of all the people that could answer the phone, God even directs us to the right one, you know. And so we did that. We bought the necessary things. And my brother Seth, who shared here earlier, as I walked back in, who he was talking, and I'm like, that's Seth's voice. Amen. All right. That guy, awesome guy. Him and a couple others have been inside a new little building, a little pole barn that we had on our property right across from our greenhouse. And they're renovating that into our new little Rescue Coffee Roaster building. And so we're just, I don't know, weeks or maybe a couple months away with some codes and different things through the city because we're trying to do it all legal. Legal, not illegal. Yeah. Just for clarification, we're trying to do it right, and it's going to take some time. But if you go to that website, and if you order coffee, I will drop it off here on my way in and out of town as I come. Okay, so this could be a site where you could pick up some if you drink coffee. Maybe you're fasting that for a few weeks, so I won't tempt you. But if not, I know I came in this morning with my Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and I got convicted as soon as I walked through the threshold, like, this is the house of God. Maybe I shouldn't do this. but anyways, guys, amazing things are happening. You know, we're just seeing God's faithfulness. Lives are changing. We had our graduation banquet this last October, and we saw over 14 men graduate the ministry that have gone through over the last year and a half, and they're on paths of greatness, doing awesome things. And so, keep those men lifted up in prayer. I got five guys who I want to share some testimonies with you right now. So, gentlemen, why don't you come on up here if you would, and we're just going to stand in front of you. We got two mics. Okay, how do we do it? Do you know how to pass a mic?
Yeah.
Can it work?
Yeah.
Who should grab the second?
Seth.
Yeah. And then you got? Okay. We'll work it out. See, we're working out the kinks right now in front of y'all. Isn't that great? Here's what I'm going to say. This is a little dramatic presentation of our testimonies, okay? As you are hearing their stories, I pray that you just, you know, pray for these men, listen to what they're sharing. There's going to be unique, different parts of their testimonies. It's not just all addiction and whatever. There's reasons why men end up in the place where they do. And my prayer is that you would be able to cheer them on and pray for them. So guys, thank you so much.
Here we go.
Reality is growing up in a broken home filled with lies, adultery, fighting, and drugs, leaving you to believe that life will never get better. It's being 10 years old and watching your oldest cousin be shot and killed at your own family reunion, which scars you for life. It's finding out at 17 that you have a 13-year-old half-sister that your mom never knew about, which causes your parents to separate and creates a rift in the relationship with your siblings. It's destroying almost every relationship you've ever had because you chose to care more about chasing a high, which causes you to overdose and nearly die. It's losing your best friend of 15 years to heroin overdose, which causes you to dive even deeper into your addiction because you gave him his first fix. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
Reality is being born with an umbilical cord wrapped around your neck, leaving your first near-death encounter with the devil at birth. Reality is growing up being brainwashed. It's getting abused mentally, physically, and emotionally until you are so fed up you begin to make plans to murder your own father. Reality is diving headfirst into any type of drug that'll make you feel better. But you end up in a cell, talking to a demon, trying to convince you to kill yourself. Reality is getting involved with women that practice witchcraft, leaving you filled with a life of sexual immorality and darkness. Reality is overdosing on heroin. It's injecting so much meth you go into cardiac arrest, causing temporary blindness, which leaves you filled with a life of near-death experiences. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
Reality is coming home every day after school, finding your mom passed out on the couch drunk, leaving you to feel unloved and uncared for. Reality is growing up in a home that has been broken by the death of two of your sisters and the divorce of your parents at the age of three, leading you to an early narcotic addiction and facing 6 years in prison at 19 years old. Reality is receiving a phone call that your mother has passed away from pancreatic cancer, wishing you could be there for the one you love the most, but you can't because you're stuck in a jail cell. Reality is having nowhere to go and no one to turn to because everyone you've ever known or cared about wants nothing to do with you or the damage and chaos you have created. Reality is your life spiraling out of control, using harder drugs to numb the pain. And when that doesn't work, frantically searching the internet for the quickest way to kill yourself because you'd rather die than spend one more day in total misery. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
Reality is finding yourself working as a male stripper at the age of 20 and then watching yourself quickly turn into a man you swore that you'd never be. Reality is overdosing multiple times, being hospitalized on one occasion, accidentally dropping the rest of your drugs down a drain, which ends up being God's way of saving your life once again. Reality is experimenting with New Age spirituality and shamanism to the point where you encounter real demons on multiple occasions. And the last time you did, one got into your 3-year-old niece. Reality is being so desperate for love and acceptance after finding out that all your friends are fake that you begin to agree and participate in a relationship with another man. Reality is being completely hopeless and ready to give up your Christian walk after only just starting. because the devil had you convinced that you will never be free of all the sin that has you in bondage. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
Reality is doing drugs for years and losing focus on your life and ambition. Reality is hanging out with the wrong crowd, living a life full of sexual morality and senseless violence. Reality is being shot at, but being so reckless, you're not fazed, nor do you care. Reality is losing so many friends and death getting closer and closer, leaving you wondering if you're next. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
Even though we've all had different realities, we've all been changed by the same truth. And truth is, since giving my life to Christ, I've come to know that everything I went through as a child was for a reason, and it's only made me stronger. Truth is, I've finally given the pain of losing my cousin to Jesus, and I no longer use it as a reason to turn away from doing what's right. Truth is, we are commanded to honor our parents, so I now treat them with respect and the love that is in Jesus, regardless of the hardships we went through. Truth is, I know that God is good because he gave me a second chance and he is starting to repair the relationships that mean the most to me. And most importantly, I've developed a relationship with our Lord and Savior. And truth is, since coming to Teen Challenge, I no longer blame myself for my best friend's death. And God has given me so many more new brothers who I can pour into and who are fighting this battle with me. In Ephesians 5:8, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you're the light in the Lord. Live as children of the light." I stand on this verse because when I was in my mess, getting high, God literally penetrated through the darkness and shined his light on me. And now he's calling me to carry that light with me everywhere I go.
Truth is, my papa Stan prayed that God would straighten out that cord. And he did, leaving doctors speechless, witnessing a miracle. Truth is, the night I planned on taking my father's life, God spoke to me. And he wants to use the abuse that's happened to me for his glory, making me a strong warrior of Christ. And I got to see a true change in my father. Truth is, I can drop down to my knees at any point in life and cry out to God, and he will hear my prayers and answer them, which is what I did when I was in that cell. And when I read the word of God, that demon trembled, leaving me victorious. Truth is, God chased me into the darkness. He picked me up off my feet and led me into his light. And since being at Teen Challenge, God broke the bondage I was under with all the women that I've been with. And truth is, God sunk way deeper than my addiction. I felt his grace and his mercies, but above all, I felt the love of God. From Saul to Paul, I was once blind, but now I see. And on January 29th of last year, I truly dedicated my life to Christ, and I got baptized in water and covered in a Holy Ghost fire. The verse I stand on is Romans 8, 38 and 39, where Paul writes, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor darkness, nor height nor depth, nor present or time to come, or anything in all of God's creation can stop me from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." This verse speaks to me because I've done everything that feels good to a man, and nothing compares or comes close to the love of God. Nothing can stop God from loving you.
Truth is, since coming to Adult and Teen Challenge on November 26, 2019, I dedicated my life to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and now he gives me all the love and care I'll ever need. Truth is, my life is no longer controlled by drugs or alcohol, and I know that I can go to the cross and cast my burdens upon the Lord. Truth is, I no longer have to feel the pain and sorrow of losing my mom, because I have a wholehearted faith that I'll see her again in heaven. Truth is, God has restored the relationships with my family, but more importantly, he has given me an eternal home in the kingdom of heaven. Truth is, I no longer contemplate suicide, because God's love has filled me up to be a light in a dark place for others. The verse I stand on is Jonah 2:6, which says, "To the roots of the mountain I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever, but you brought me up from that pit and gave me life, O Lord my God." And I stand on this verse because I had been in and out of jail cells, and I had dug myself into a pit so dark and so deep I thought I would never get out. But God's love has shone upon me and brought me back to the surface.
Truth is, I turned to stripping because I was in search of fulfillment. But I was actively rejecting God and chasing the fleeting, empty pleasures of this world. Truth is, God was chasing me down for years, saving me from myself and slowly bringing me to my knees so that I'd finally surrender and give my life to the Creator and lover of my soul. And truth is, our Savior Jesus disarmed and triumphed over all principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them. So at his name, that demon left my knees. The truth is, the other man is just as lost and hurt as I was, and I pray Jesus calls him out of that life one day like he did me. The truth is, Adult and Teen Challenge has been an answer to so many of my prayers, and since God brought me here, he's shown me victory in areas that I never thought was possible. And on July 16th of 2021, he gave me a new name, Rasha, which in Hebrew means the one who changed his path. And the verse that I live by is Luke 23:34, when Jesus was hanging on the cross and cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." In that moment, I believe Jesus truly expressed his great compassion and love for us. It is also the ultimate example of the love that we should have for each other.
Truth is, life without Jesus led me to lose focus on my life's calling, and sin ruled my life. Truth is, the sexual morality and senseless violence was a cry for help twisted by the devil to keep me trapped. The truth is, all those bullets never touched me because I was always protected by a higher power. The truth is, all those deaths were Jesus' way of saying, "Listen, repent, or die." The verse I stand on is 2 Corinthians 8:11. On with it then, and finish the job. Be as eager to finish it as you were to plan it, and do it with what you now have. I stand on this verse because before I was eager for all the wrong things, but now I am eager to finish as I am to plan and to do what I now have. It's Christ Jesus.
And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Hallelujah. Thank you, gentlemen. You can put that on the seat right there if you don't mind. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
You know, there's a... Yeah, God is good, that's correct. These gentlemen all have one thing in common, and that's the same thing we all have in common, which is a sinful nature, which is a bend towards that. And through the hurts and the brokenness of this world and their experiences from childhood on up, in the decisions they made to deal with that, you know, they found themselves in a place of bondage. They found themselves in a place of hopelessness and misery. And like my life, I contemplated suicide. It was early in 2001. I just remember I'd had enough. I was done with living the way that I had been, and unfortunately, the enemy at that point had me convinced that bending my knee to Jesus wasn't the answer and that death was. And to be honest, I'm so grateful that there was God, the Holy Spirit, who was pursuing me. Jesus was after me in a way that convinced me over time that it's not that I wanted to die. I just didn't want to live that life that I was living anymore. And but the reality is I did need to die. The old me needed to die. I needed to bring that man to the cross and participate in that death, burial, but resurrection of Jesus Christ to be the man that he called me to be. And so I'm grateful for you men. Thank you for sharing vulnerably. It's not easy to get up in front of strangers, even though I know we're all family in the house of the Lord, but it's not easy to get up and share some of the most hurtful parts of your story in front of the public. But we know that these are places of grace, and these are places of love, and you know, just to embrace the new you, man. I'm so blessed by you, and I'm grateful to go and share. Can I have a few minutes? Is it good? Are we good? Yeah? Okay. I know there's a lot going on today, and so I don't want to crowd it out, but can I just want to share. I just want to pray for 2 seconds and then and share what the Lord put on my heart for this morning. But so if you would, let's just quickly pray. Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. And God, I'm asking right now just for an anointing again to fall upon me, upon my lips. Lord, I ask God that I would share nothing that you don't want me to share, Jesus, that you would cause me to speak things that I didn't think of or plan. And Lord, just as much as I'm in desperate need of you for this moment, Lord, every member here, everyone who's sitting here, those that are watching online, Lord, we're in need of the anointing for us to be able to hear what it is that you're saying. Lord, your word, it says, "Let him who who has ears to hear, hear. And so, God, as much as I need it, we all need it. And so, Jesus, we need you. So speak, Father, for we are listening. Speak, Father, for I am willing and ready. And God, I pray that the purpose of today in every way is fulfilled right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to put this back up a little bit. I realize it doesn't move forward as well as it moved back. Thank you, Pastor. There you go. I didn't mind sliding back, but it was not about to slide forward. Morning, I was laying in my bed. My alarm had just gone off, and I'll be 100% honest, I hit the snooze button. It was still dark out. I knew it had snowed a lot the night before and into the morning, and I knew what was awaiting for me once my feet hit the floor. And as excited as I was to come here, and trust me, I was excited to come here, there was this part in me that was, enjoying that warmth of my bed. And as so many mornings I'll do before services like today, I asked God, I said, Lord, what is it that you would speak to my father's house this morning? And just as quick as I asked, as clear, you know how the Lord speaks, just so beautifully and so him, he said this. He literally said, tell them to rest on my promises. To rest on my promises. And so I was laying there and I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. What promises did you bring to them? And I felt like you would know. And this is probably one of these moments I could have just had right here. But I'm sharing it right here because I know that as a body, you are united by the Spirit, through the Spirit. And it's funny because at one point I actually went to Matthew 11:28 this morning in preparation and prayer. And because it is a promise of the Lord that we would enter his rest in that yoke. And so as you're sharing, I'm just chuckling going, of course, God, you know, that's just how you work. But I feel like there are actually promises spoken over this church, over this specific body, my father's house. Some have come to pass and some have yet to. And how exciting in 2022 is it that we get to enter into a new year? We understand it's just another day on the calendar, but there is a newness. There is an anticipation. There is a reset. You know, I had to laugh yesterday. I came across this funny meme or whatever you call them. It was a picture of a Dairy Queen sign, and it said, Dairy Queen, wrecking New Year's resolution since 1962 or something like that. I just thought, yes, it's so true. But there's something about a new year that brings this new sense of anticipation and expectancy, right? This anticipation that God is, that we're going to enter into something, right? And I just felt like as the Lord spoke this morning to tell you to rest on his promises, resting is, it's an active, passive word. It's such a funny word in the old language, in the biblical language. But as we know it today, resting isn't sitting and doing nothing, right? Resting is more about trusting. It's more about relying. It's more about making it your everything. And so at the end of the day, there's promises that have been spoken over this house. And there needs to be a trust. There needs to be a reliance upon some of those words that have spoken that. And he's going to accelerate this in a way that I want to be clear that I don't, you know, obviously I don't feel called to be a prophet to this house, right? We would have had a conversation prior to this moment, but I do feel like the Lord is speaking to us in a moment and to this body specifically. And I need to share that with you. As I was laying in my bed this morning, I felt like he answered. He answered my prayer. He answered my question, and that's what he gave me. So I wanted to release that to you. Beyond that, I sense in our story of Adult and Teen Challenge that this year, and I shared this with the men the other day, that this year, 2022, is going to be a year where we were going to go back to some of the basics. Go back to some of the basics. There's a lot of things in trying to run three different centers in three different counties and, you know, an ever-growing team and ever-expanding budget and needs and all this stuff that I can start going sideways. I can start going all over the place. You know, there's a lot to manage. There's a lot to try to hold down. And yet, I feel like the Lord is saying, listen, the way you're going to move forward in me is to go back. It's to go back. It's to go back to the promise that I gave you, the promise that the Lord has spoken over not just my life, but over the ministry and over humanity as a whole. And Dave Wilkerson, when he started this ministry, and I have some copies of The Cross and the Switchblade back there on the table. This is a condensed version. Please take these. We bring them for you. So if you want a copy, please do so. But in The Cross and the Switchblade, one of the things that you see is just this deep reliance and dependency upon the Holy Spirit to move. He is the one who brought this whole story to pass, because whatever God wants, he gets. That's what I always say. God is, he's everything. He's all powerful and he knows how to get what he wants. And he wants the redemption of humanity. That's his highest goal. But the redemption of humanity is kind of a tricky thing, because right now, I guess I'll put it this way. The only thing better than God with us, which is Emmanuel and the thing we celebrate over Christmas, this is a play on words here, but it's actually God in us by the Holy Spirit. It's God in us. That's his ultimate goal in redemption, is that he would have a people fully filled, I mean fully filled with his life by the indwelling power of his Spirit. Unfortunately, today, many Christians stop short of God's ultimate purpose, right? They don't understand his will. They get sidetracked. They get distracted. They stop trusting and relying, and they begin kind of leaning back and coasting on past memories. And that's one of the things. I'm 42 now, and I'm getting older. For some would say I'm old. Some would say I'm young. And wherever you fall in that is whatever. But I realize that at 42, I'm already starting to have a lot of memories of God moving yesterday and over the years. And as grateful as I am for those, because, man, having history with God is so rich. It's so amazing and awesome. And I got journals and diaries and entries and notes and memories and thoughts. And my Bible is filled with dates and important moments and things where he showed up. I love the miraculous Holy Spirit life. I love it. There's nothing like it. The danger is that you begin to tell stories of yesterday. And how many of y'all know God is alive today? And right now, and wanting to do new things. Don't you perceive it, right? As he says in the book of Isaiah, right? Through the prophet. And so, again, I don't just want, you know, I don't want to get sidetracked or just to lean back and become content. You know, and there's so many in the church. Unfortunately, there's churches all around us, and I'm not here to speak down on them and whatever, but there's a lot of people bringing people into a new birth, but yet neglecting the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why my heart feels at home here. As we're in worship earlier, I'm just going, this is home. I don't care about the building and the style of worship or the place or the none of those things were mattering. I just felt at home. And as you came up, sister, and we began all praying in the Spirit and just getting down with it, like I say, you know, like I just, this is it. This is what the church is supposed to look like. And the reality is that churches that look like the actual church of Jesus are going to typically always run fewer in numbers, but yet stronger in bond, stronger in power. And so be encouraged, but rest on his promises for this church. There are millions of evangelical Christians alive today that, though they would not deny the reality of the Holy Spirit, would also admit that they've never truly felt his presence or action in their lives. And guys, that's a tragedy. That's an absolute tragedy. One that we don't want to experience in our life. And so I feel like part of you resting on his promises is, I'm going to shift gears real quick. Oh, I'm going to share one last quote. I shared this the other night. But in Francis Chan's book, Forgotten God, he says that if he were Satan, that his ultimate goal would be to thwart God's kingdom and God's purposes. But one of his main strategies would be to get the church to ignore the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'll be honest, he succeeded greatly in many ways. My own story, my own life. I was raised in a church that tried, or in a family that tried to have faith and tried to teach us. I went to Awanas and Cubbies and VBSs, and I did all the little things that all the good little kids were supposed to do. And I get to this place called Teen Challenge in Dallas, Texas, at the age of 29. A hot mess. My life's out of control. I'm, you know, depressed, addict, addicted. I've, you know, immorality, in and out of jails, homeless, whatever. I get there, a mess. And I'm going, yeah, I recognize God the Father. And yeah, I've heard this about Jesus, but who is this guy? If I could just be so honest, not disrespectful, but honest. This third person of the Trinity, where is this? Who is this? And I remember writing a letter home to my dad, pastor, reverend dad, missionary dad, who I love dearly. And I just asked him, I said, Dad, thanks for teaching me about God the Father. Thank you for teaching me about Jesus. Why didn't you ever teach me about the Holy Spirit? Why? And I wasn't trying to, you know, belittle it. I was just being sincere, asking why. And he lived in Ireland at the time, and so correspondence took a little bit to get back and forth the pond, whatever you call it. But I finally got a letter back, and it was a sincere letter on his part. It was very humble, and you know, he just said, Andy, I taught you what I knew. And that's the reality of it. And my dad believes in the Holy Spirit, believes in the power of the Holy Spirit to an extent. And I suppose I do too. And yet God wants to take us further. There's a couple scriptures. Matthew chapter 3:11, actually. This is the presentation of Jesus in the Gospels. And it's John the Baptist, right? And we read this amazing scripture of this man who he's a wild man, okay? Like Seth, you ain't seen nothing, brother. Like John the Baptist was wild, man. Yeah, you come in second, don't worry. But man, verse 11, he says, this is John speaking in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I'm fast forwarding to this part, but he says, indeed, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He says this, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. This is a word I also felt the Lord give me the other day. In the Gospel of Luke, I believe it's chapter 3 as well, if not 4, and forgive me, 3. He actually is speaking, it's the same account from John the Baptist. But in this one he says, of sandals, I am not even worthy to loose. And I had to think of the other day, why would you loose someone's sandals? If I came to you, First Lady, and I sat down and I began to loose your sandals, you might be appalled. You might kick me. No, I'm kidding. But what would it be for if not to take them off? If not to wash your feet, right? If you came into my home. If not, here in the Gospel of Matthew, it says to carry. So maybe there's an element of, but it's all revolving around service, of serving. And John the Baptist is saying he's so humbled at the presence of God in the flesh that he's about to come and he goes, I'm not even worthy to serve him. Think of that. Especially for pastors, for ministers, for people who would say, my life is characterized by serving Jesus. There's moments in our own personal journey and walk with the Lord where, whether it's personal failure or sin or compromise or, you know, unexpected or premeditated, I don't know. But there's days where we go, my goodness, and as we get into his presence, we feel so unworthy. And yet, Jesus says, no, come. Because later we read in the story that John was saying, I can't baptize you. I can't do it. Like, I couldn't even carry your sandals, yet alone baptize the Son of God. There's no way. And Jesus, literally in verse 15, says to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus, in order to fulfill all righteousness through our lives, needs us to permit him to do what he desires to do through us. But the only way we're going to do that is to recognize his presence in our lives and to participate with him. And then he says, then he allowed him. We have to allow him. We literally, simply, it's so simple we can miss it. We have to allow him to work through us. It says this, it says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, behold is one of those words in the New Testament that when you see it, you have to stop and go, ta-da. You can imagine all the angels there peering in from the heavens and even in the earth. And this is a moment. Behold, like this is a moment, just like when the angels came to the Virgin Mary or to the shepherds, right? In the Annunciation or out in the fields or whatever. And this word behold appears in the word. And here's another instance where behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And here's another word that we like in Pentecostal circles, but it's in suddenly. A voice, suddenly, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What I see through this are two things. One is that as we allow him, as we cooperate with God and allow him so that all righteousness can be fulfilled on the earth through our lives, that good things happen, that amazing things happen. Not only that, but I also see that even Jesus himself, who is our model, right? Be imitators, therefore, of Christ. That's a scripture, right? We've read that. Jesus, our model on this earth as a man walked, but needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God in the flesh needed a moment where Holy Spirit would fill him up. What is that? And yet, I'm good. I know the word. You know, I go to church. No. Like, we're so desperate. Notice what happens when the Holy Spirit fills the Son of God, that it was in that moment that he was actually able to hear the Father's blessing over his life. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. You know who heard that? Everybody that was there. In order for you know how many of us walk through this world wondering who we are and if we're hacking it, if we're making it. Maybe the ladies in the room don't feel this as much as the men. You feel other things, but men, we're always wondering, am I good enough? Do I have what it takes? Am I hacking it? Am I doing it? Let me just tell you and speak to the men in the room. I'm telling you, the way to hear this is let the Holy Spirit consume your life. Let Jesus participate. Obey him. Obey him in ways that you see him show up. And when Holy Spirit comes upon us, we can hear the voice saying, I'm well pleased. But this moment here, we see that it's the beginning. And Jesus did it himself. But then later in the Gospel of Luke, he talks about the promise of the Father that's coming our way. Luke 24 talks about it. In Acts chapter 1, it's another account of this here. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, I believe, Jesus is right about to ascend up into the heavens. And he goes, hey, before you do anything, before you try to go serve me, before you go try to turn the world upside down for me, before you try to do anything in my name, you need to all get together and wait for the promise of the Father. That's it. Now, this house believes in it. But I felt like the Lord, when he said that that y'all need to rest in his promises. I feel like there's another aspect of this for us that we need to understand here as we walk through this thing personally. We're all stewards of this great gift of the Holy Spirit. We're all great stewards of it. And we're going to model to our husbands, our wives. We're going to model to our children. We're going to model to our parents. We're going to model to our coworkers. We're going to model what a life filled with the Holy Spirit is supposed to look like. And as we wait upon the Holy Spirit, as he fills us up afresh and anew, there are distinguishing characteristics, there are marks, there's identifying impacts, if you will, whatever, of the Holy Spirit upon you. One I'm going to share, I shared the other night too at our New Year's service at Teen Challenge, but one of them is just this deep hunger. When you're filled up with the Holy Spirit, you're hungry for God. I know right now you're like, I'm hungry for a cheeseburger. Hang in there, guys. It gets better, right? But you're hungry for God. Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. But there's this thing inside of you that says, man, I got to get everything that God has. I got to get it all. I want it all. You want all that God has. You want the fullness. The fullness. That's one of the things. The next thing is the presence of God in your life. When you're filled up with the Holy Spirit, I mean, it begs to say, but like, holy God is in you, right? He's inside of you. This presence is in you. You know, he's identified. What is the hope of glory, right? But it's Christ in us. It's God's Holy Spirit in us. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence is what? It's fullness of joy. There's peace in his presence. There's joy in his presence. There's, you know, there's the ability to process things in different ways. But that presence, Ephesians 3:17 is another verse that comes to mind in this about Jesus in us. And I'll get there in 2 seconds. And it says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. But there's this 3:17 moment that Christ dwells in our hearts and through salvation and forgiveness. But then there's this promise of the Father that's available. And we say, come Jesus, dwell inside of me. So what happens is that when all of a sudden this comes, like, he makes his dwelling place in us. And that sounds beautiful, but then all of a sudden he begins to go to war against anything that doesn't look like him. Now this is the hard stuff, the selfishnessisms, the prideisms, the impurities, the things that, you know, don't look like him. Those are hard to work through sometimes. But when the presence, when the baptizing fire of the Holy Spirit fills our lives, we're not just saying yes to goosebumps and prophetic words and utterances and tongues. And those are amazing and beautiful. And I love all the gifts and I want to see them all. One of the main things that the Holy Spirit does when he comes into our spirit is he makes us holy. Holy Spirit. Pretty obvious. So obvious we can miss it. He goes to war. There's this purity that begins to happen. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he says, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest your sorrows, others who have no hope. I'm sorry, 4:3, not 4:13. That didn't make sense. But this does. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion or of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this manner. And we go on and on. But listen, there's this purity. There's a purity that happens in this promise of the Father. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says this. There's the 13 one. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. So there's a presence, there's a hunger, there's a presence, a realization of his presence, of his indwelling power, of his indwelling presence in us. There's this purity. All of a sudden we're starting to go to war against all these things. We're starting to see, you know, God move, and his nature on the inside of us starts to go to war on our nature, on our fleshly nature. And then all of a sudden, our perception has changed. And God begins to reveal truth to us in a way that we never have before. Truth changes us. The truth changes us. As the gentleman closed out, the reality is, they shared the verse, right, in John, and the truth shall make us free. It's not instant free. It's instant freedom in the spiritual, but it's in the sanctification process. It's this thing that the truth makes us free. Like over time, as we are willing to come closer to Jesus, as we're willing to come out of agreement with things that, you know, we didn't even realize. And it's so funny that as you get closer to the cross, as you get closer to Jesus, sometimes the dirtier you feel. Have you ever experienced that? We're like, man, over here, yeah, I got a little taste and it's all good, glory. But man, there's moments you enter in and just like, you know, the prophet, as he has this encounter, oh, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. You know, like when you get into the pure presence of Jesus, you're like, oh my goodness. Ah. And yet, this truth begins to change us. It begins to tell us, come on, come closer. Come on, give me that as well. Come on, don't settle for this lie. Don't settle for that reality. You know there's more. You know there's more. How many dead people did you raise last year? Yeah, I'm at 0-2. You know, how many, I'm just being honest. Just being honest. Like, how many, you know, how many moments did you, I don't know. Like, you know, but we know there's more, right? And again, as Pastor mentioned earlier, it's not a condemning thing. Not at all. Like, you know, God isn't sitting there going, man, I wish y'all would just start laying hands on everybody. You know, whatever. No, but do you know there's more? I know there's more. And there's this hunger inside of me now to 2022. There's going to be something that's resting on the promises of God and over this church, but over your life. And there was a promise of the Father over your life, which is simply that there's an indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that is going to be the thing that guides you into this year. And it's going to affect your hunger. It's going to affect the presence. You know, how he leads you. And no matter how weak you are, right? You are the dwelling place of God, and he'll take you there. It's going to affect the purity, the sanctification. You might take new ground this year. How exciting is that? You know, and the things that you were okay with last year, all of a sudden, you're just not okay with them anymore. Like, man, I don't need that extra donut, you know, or I don't need that, you know, extra TV show, or I don't need that, you know, I don't know, whatever it is. And again, not to get into legalistic religious stuff, I'm just being honest, like there's levels and God wants to take us into a new one. This purity, sanctifying agent, the perception through the word, as we study the word, as we begin to be thankful. You know what changes perception? I've always said, God, you're either going to change my circumstances or my view of them. He does one of the two. He doesn't always just take away the things we don't like, but a lot of times he gives us that perception to handle it and to be okay, or to move through it and whatever. But being thankful is one of the things we spoke of it earlier, and how dangerous it is to not be thankful and grateful and complain and all that. So that'll change your perception of things. He'll take anxiety and depression away. You know, as we rely on God, as he becomes our hope, he changes our perception. And the last thing that I was going to share is just the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. The power. The power to say no to things that don't belong to us. Acts 1:8, right? And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses unto me, says Jesus. Like, my witnesses unto me. It's kind of interesting. There's a possession there, and there's an appropriation. Like, you're my witnesses unto me. You're not my witnesses unto yourself. Or you're not your own witnesses unto me. Think about it. There's a difference in all of that. But you're my witnesses unto me. And right, and where are you going to do this? You're going to do it in Jerusalem. You're going to do it in Fort Wayne. You're going to do it in Allen County. You're going to do it in all of Judea. For some reason, he didn't want any of it left out. All of Judea. All of Indiana. You know? You're going to do it in Samaria. You're going to do it in the United States. You're going to do it. And then, even to the ends of the earth. The promise of the Father. You know, it's interesting when we all know the passage in Acts. I think it's, I say we all know, I think it's in 7, somewhere in there. No, that's where Stephen is stoned. Anyways, a little bit, where all of a sudden the church, the leaders were realizing that they were neglecting the ministry of the word and the prayer by feeding, you know, and taking care of all this stuff. And there's kind of this moment where all of a sudden they realize that the need for leadership to arise and delegation in the early church. And you know what the qualifications were? Let's just stop there for a second. You had to be full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit to serve tables. Why? Because otherwise your perspective could get, you know, tarnished. Otherwise you'd open up so much that you didn't want to open up. You know, it was God. It's just such an interesting way how this happens. But I believe I want to close this time out by again saying thank you for the honor of being here and for sharing some time with you and for allowing me to just share this quick little word with you guys of really the power of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. Let that be what distinguishes us this year. As we're in worship, I felt the Lord again remind me of something that in a lot of places, not in every place, but in a lot of places where you see the word grace in the New Testament, you can substitute that with Holy Spirit. Because, you know, like in James chapter 4, where it said he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. There's a humility that comes upon a soul on the front end of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just the desperation to see more of God, to operate in all that God has. I just want to encourage us today that for 2022, let it be a year defined and marked by us going back to some basics. By researching in our lives, what are some of the promises that God has spoke over us? And let's rest on those. Let's trust those. Let's contend for those. Let's go after those. But ultimately, let us experience the grace of God through our humility and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let this year be marked by a year where we see active like steps taken towards the power of God manifesting his presence, and let us lead many, many to Christ. And I look forward to working with you. I look forward to being in fellowship with you, whatever that looks like, in unity with you as we move into Allen County. We're, again, on this fundraising thing. We already prayed for it. We already agreed for it, so I'm not going to talk about it again. It's going to come somewhere. Amen? But I pray that the next time I come, the next time, Lord willing, that we're invited, that I will have some more positive updates to share in that realm of how God has brought it together. But I want to pray over us in my time, and then I'll pass the mic back. But if we could, let's just reach our hands up to the heavens. And Father, Lord, you said in your word that there was such power in what you were going to bring, that it was better for you to go away so that you could send this Holy Spirit that would cause us to do greater things than you did here on this earth. And Jesus, there's probably a lot of meanings to that. And Father, I just know that in my own life, God, there's a hunger in me in this moment, Lord, to see more of you manifest in my life. God, it's not something I have to strive for in a way of earning or whatever, because we know that your grace has accomplished it all and that it's a gift. And Lord, you know how to give them. And so, God, we just this morning in unity and agreement, God, we just want to say, Jesus, we want more of what you have to offer. And we understand that it's by grace through faith that we're saved. And part of your grace is by this Holy Spirit that you offer to all of us. Let us not rest on yesterday's miracles. We thank you for them. But God, we're hungry for more for now. We want to see your glory fill the earth. We want to see your kingdom advance in a marked way in 2022. And we want to see it through our participation with you, through our obedience with you, like John and Jesus in that moment in the wilderness. We want to see it, God. So, Lord, here we are. Send us. Here we are. Let us contend for your promises. Let us rest on them. Let us, all your promises, it says, are yes and amen. And God, we enter into that today. We celebrate that today. We thank you for your promises today. God, we want more of your Holy Spirit. We want that promise in our life. And I just ask, God, that today you would give us all the understanding of where we need to make room so you can come. If it's our time, if it's our resources, if it's our attention, our focus, whatever. But God, I know that you want to move in our midst. And so, Jesus, I thank you for this time. Again, I just speak honor and peace over this home. I thank you for the extreme. It's beyond a blessing to me to be a part of this group. But Lord, I just ask that the best things come in 2022 over my Father's house, Lord. You have plans in your heart and your mind. I know you're going to reveal them to Pastor Harley and his family and through the lines of leadership. God, you're going to bring forth your perfect purposes and will for this house and for this community, for the region where you have planted them. God, I also speak life over Adult and Teen Challenge, Allen County Recovery House, Lord, as we move forward. I just thank you, God, that you're doing something unique and special in 2022. God, may this be the year of favor over Allen County. May we experience revival in this city, but in a way that begins in our own hearts and then extends out into and outwardly from there. And so, God, again, thank you. Lord Jesus, we love you. We give you all the praise. God, fill us with your Holy Spirit even now. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.